Dan's number.
This is the in-season salmon management pro conference. Waiting for Serena.
Oh, that's my uncle. Is it?
I don't know. Is there someone on the phone?
Hello.
Oh, it sounds like
hello. This is Hugh Beifel calling in.
Of you, waiting on Ian Serena to start the meeting.
Okay.
Still waiting for you, Serena.
Sound check. Mike, can you hear me okay?
Hey, Serena, I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about that. I thought everything was ready to roll. here I said my introduction and everything. Can you all hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, sorry about the delay, everyone. Technology is not in my favor this afternoon. Thank you all for joining the 2025 Yukon River In-Season Salmon Management Teleconference. Your participation is essential to our discussions on managing the Yukon River's vital salmon runs. I am Serena Alstrom, Executive Director of the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, and I will be your host this season. We will cover key topics such as run assessments, environmental conditions, management strategies. We thank our funding partners, the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission and the TANNA Chiefs Conference for their support. These teleconferences facilitate communication across the 22-mile Yukon River, enabling fishermen, processors, researchers, managers, and other users to exchange real-time information and engage in effective salmon management discussions. Originally designed to bridge communication gaps, these calls are now requiring a significant reconstruction due to declining salmon runs. While maintaining the original purpose, we aim to make these calls a platform for actionable feedback, providing insights and recommendations to management entities. We will restructure the format, topics, and feedback mechanisms to ensure these calls contribute to tangible improvements in fishery management and provide updates on Yukon River research. The Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association in-season subsistence salmon survey is currently getting started. We thank the National Park Service and NOAA for funding the program this year. This year, we are working on rolling out a digital app version of the program, and we will update you when it is ready to download from the App Store. We want to encourage fishers in the in-season survey communities to reach out to their local surveyor and share what they are seeing on the river. This program is a way for fishers to anonymously share their observations as well as their concerns or challenges with the managers and the rest of the river. The in-season survey communities include Alakanuk, Mountain Village, Russian Mission, Marshall, Anvik, Puslia, Ruby, Tanana, Fort Yukon, and Eagle. I'd like to welcome all the new callers and our new board members as well. We encourage young fishers to participate in the calls to learn and engage in Yukon River fisheries. I ask all of our participants today to please be respectful of one another. This space is to be used as a communication tool between all users of the Yukon River. By working together, we can foster positive outcomes when we support one another. Kleana to everyone for joining the call today. Just a reminder to please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to mute and unmute. Background noise and conversations are disruptive to callers who are sharing important information. Do I have any media on the line today? Do we have any of our government representatives or staff members on the call? Okay, if I'd like to ask the Yukon area managers from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, please introduce yourselves and provide us with your assessment report.
Hi, Serena. This is Dina Jallon here with Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Emonic. Fred, if you're on, you want to cover assessment updates?
Yeah, sure. This is Fred. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Fred. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm Fred West, the area research biologist for the summer season. And yeah, let's go over a brief assessment before Dina takes over the management. So we just put out the, the third third update for this season, and that has a lot of this information in that document. So if you miss anything, it's all there. But essentially, the Chinook run is currently appears to be below average and unlikely to meet escapement objectives. The 2024 run is has reached close to the historical midpoint of June 25, and it's currently tracking the below the preseason forecast and similar to the poor runs observed in 2023 and 2024. For the Sum Chamina run, where LYTF is continuing to kind of be slow and they're catching few fish. And so that's indicating that the run so far being tracked at, pilot, it's, entering near the lower end of forecast range and the drainage wide escape and goal range of 500,000 to 1.2 million. So, it's not coming in all that strong at this rate. In recent years, the run has been 3 to 5 days late, but this year it seems like the timing may be closer to normal. So it's hard to tell how late it might be. But so it's the run timing is still kind of uncertain. So it's just, but so far the run is, it was tracking 2024 for a little bit there, but it's fallen off that track. So, and the, by this date, yesterday, the 23rd, we have passed the first quarter point if, for normal run timing. As far as, assessment projects we got going on right now, so the Lower Yukon test fish, it's, as of June 23rd, they've have a CPUE of 225, which is below the historical cumulative CPUE of 1099. So it's well below average for CPUE rates. And for sonar, pilot station sonar, it's been operating since the 4th. They've had some issues with a little bit of high water here and there, but overall the project is operating as it should. Currently the passage estimate for summer chum as of yesterday, the 23rd, is 70,125 plus or minus 5,600 fish, 90% confidence interval. And that's below the cumulative median of 452,000 fish at this time. And for the Chinook passage, the estimate is 20,476 plus or minus 4,392, 90% confidence interval. And that's also well below the cumulative median or average of 78,920 or 75 fish. So both species are tracking well below average. As far as, Anvik sonar, that started, the 16th of June, and that estimate is up to 827 fish, and it's below the historical median of 3,265 fish. So, and we were, I guess the other projects that'll coming online will be Eagle Sonar. I think they're hoping, I think, to be in the water by like, July 1st, and some of the other like Salcha and Chena River Towers, I think, are hoping to be in the water here shortly. And we do have some age comp data that we just got for summer chum from LYTF. And this information is in the update we just released, but essentially the AH4s are below average at 22%, compared to normally they're 36% at this date. And for AH5s, they're at 74%, which compared to historical averages, 61%. So it's, the age comp is actually really similar to what we saw last year. So, at this time. And yeah, and the lengths, the H4 length is 548 millimeters, and the H5s is 570 millimeters, which are both pretty similar to historical averages, and the female percentage is 54%. So it's a little bit less than the average of 57%, but pretty close. Yeah, I guess that's about it. So thanks.
All right. Thanks, Fred. And this is Dina John with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Yukon River Summer Season Manager. I'm out here in the Ammonic office. And just remind folks that you can always call the toll-free fishing telephone number if you want to hear information for your district or to hear recent counts from Pilot Station Sonar and the Lower Yukon Test Fishery. And that number is 1-866-479-7387. And we update that recording whenever we put out new advisory announcements with new updates. As folks probably already know, we have announced salmon fishing closures for all districts. And those closures have been making their way upriver, and salmon fishing is closed up through sub-district 5ABC. So that means that gillnets larger than 4-inch mesh have to be out of the water, and you can't operate fish wheels, and you can still continue to fish for non-salmon with 4-inch or smaller mesh gillnets. And the closure dates for 5D and District 6 have been announced. The next kind of management action that's going into place are the closures of all gillnets. So when all gillnets have to be out of the water, based on the timing of about the first to third quarter points of the Chinook salmon run. So this measure is being taken to help get gillnets out of the water and help Chinook and summer chum salmon make their way up to their spawning grounds. And the dates for those closures of all gillnets have been announced up through Subdistrict 5ABC, and those closures have already started up through Subdistrict 4A Lower. So if folks have any questions about what's going on in your district, I do encourage you to call the toll-free number just to see when those dates are and when those dates of that closure of 4-inch gillnets expires. And so when that closure dates are over, you can put your 4-inch or smaller mesh nets back in the water and fish for non-salmon again. However, we continue to ask that you put your nets where they're just going to target non-salmon and aren't going to incidentally or accidentally harvest salmon as they're going upriver. This last day or so, we have heard a lot of calls, and folks are hearing a lot of rumors that fishing has opened for summer chum with dip nets, and that is not the case. You can use dip nets for non-salmon, so if you're going out for smelt or for whitefish, you can harvest non-salmon with dip nets, but at this time, we are requiring that all Chinook and summer chum be released alive from dip nets and hook and line and any other gear whenever possible. If we do see an improvement in the summer chum run, we do hope to open that opportunity, but at this time, there is no retention of summer chum or Chinook salmon allowed in dip net gear or beach seines or fish wheels or hook and line. So with that, I'll turn it over to Holly Carroll. She's got anything to add from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service side.
Hi, thanks, everybody. This is Holly Carroll, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I really don't have much to add to those detailed reports, but I will stand by to hear everyone's comments and information. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Holly, Dina, and Fred, for that update. We will now turn it over to the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada. Do we have Jacqueline on the line?
Good afternoon, Serena. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Lovely. Thank you. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jacqueline Kendall. I am currently the Acting Yukon River Operations Manager with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and I'm going to provide just a brief overview of stock assessment activities and a little bit on Canadian management. So starting off with stock assessment, we have had some of our DFO technicians departing to Old Crow as of the 20th to begin setup of our assessment camp and program on the Porcupine River, which is near Old Crow, Yukon, with the goal of having it operational by the end of the month. This program has run for about 14 years, and it's used to estimate the passage of Chinook and Chum salmon into the Canadian Porcupine River. Continuing from there, tomorrow we will also have some technicians departing to travel to Eagle, Alaska to support the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in the setup of the Eagle assessment site. So that will be happening soon, which is great. And just over the next coming weeks, and of course leading into late July, we'll have a number of other pretty amazing Chinook assessment projects within the Canadian Yukon River coming online. And most of these are led and managed by Yukon First Nations, and updates will be provided as each progresses. So if we have any project managers with any of the Yukon First Nations online today that want to speak to any of those assessment programs, that would be great. As with the state of Alaska, we do have some fire activity right now in the Yukon. We are dealing with a bit of highway closures here and there in regards to that, hoping that some storm activity that may be coming up will bring some scattered rain and potentially relief to those wildfires. And then just closing with a little bit of Canadian management, with the preliminary Canadian origin Chinook forecast being quite low, the public angling or recreational fishery in Canada has been closed and will, of course, maintain the current long-term closures in the commercial and domestic, which is the non-Indigenous food fishery. So those will remain in effect as well. And as well with it being so, the forecast being so far below the rebuilding target, there will be no opportunities in the Chinook salmon First Nation subsistence fishery for 2025. So it's going to be a tough year again. But thank you so much, Serena, for allowing me to provide an update.
Great. Thank you, Jacqueline. We will now move it over to the organizational reports. Do I have anyone from the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission on the line?
Hi, this is Estelle.
Hi, Estelle. Go ahead.
What did you ask them for? I was chewing a piece of lettuce and it was kind of noisy.
Do you have any updates or anything that you'd like to provide?
Not right at this very second. I don't have my notes in front of me.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Hi.
Sorry.
Hi, this is Jasmine Bent with the Fish Commission. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Jasmine, go ahead.
Okay. We don't have a big report, but we just want to share some general information. My name is Jasmine Bent. I'm from Huslia, and this past year, the Fish Commission recently became a standalone nonprofit org, so we're officially recognized as a 501c3, and we officially have two employees, myself serving as the communications director, and Janessa Newman, who is our stewardship director. And so far this summer, we've been actively tracking the rolling salmon closures to stay informed, and we're continuing to monitor the management updates as the season progresses, and we're also planning to conduct our first attempt at field work this summer, so within that, hoping to support our ongoing efforts for the Fish Commission and kind of strengthen our community connections within that and better understand different conditions that are taking place on the ground. And then we're also trying to find ways to make outreach more meaningful for people living along the river. So one idea we're developing is to try to clearly communicate what fishing activities are still allowed despite the gillnet closures and restrictions and the salmon closures. So we really hope to have this information available live on our website next week, and that's yritfc.org. So right now we're just continuing to closely follow the rolling closures and keep communities and people informed. But we're really trying to think in terms of going beyond just sharing those restrictions and kind of have a goal to provide more like practical information that supports people and their fishing practices and what they can do during these challenging times. So that's where Janessa and I are at right now. Talking about doing field work next month, and we also just wanted to share that we're open to any suggestions and encourage anyone with ideas of how to go about this outreach in a culturally responsive way. And if so, you can email us at communications@yritfc.org.
Thank you, Janessa.
So yeah, sorry for the background noise. I'm in Houston right now, so there's a lot of people here. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jasmine. Appreciate it. Do we have anyone from the BBAYK group online? Okay, do we have anyone from Canadian First CFYN online?
Hey, Serena, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Perfect. Thank you. So updates on our side. I know on the Alaskan side there were some protests, peaceful protests hosted on June 20th, and to Swim and Speak with Them, and some of the youth also did one here in Whitehorse. And then just today is the one-year anniversary of the Victoria Gold Ernie Gold Mine slide. So there was another kind of water ceremony hosted today down at Rotary Park just to commemorate that, as well as at the CYFNGA in Heslin. I heard one in Dawson, and I think there was one in Mayo as well. Just trying to bring people together, make sure we don't forget about that. More generally, the Yukon side, we've had a lot of fires break out, and we've had a bit of a heat wave just here in Whitehorse. It just seems to have broke a little today, which is a good news, but lots of smoke and kind of hard knowing for people with the respiratory reasons. The other big thing going on is the General Assembly for CYFN, and at that, a new Grand Chief will be elected this round. The last Grand Chief, Peter Johnson, he served, I think, two terms for about 8 years. So it would be a bit of a shift to some new leadership. Otherwise, for kind of salmon management news, First Nations most have ongoing closures. Some do those closures yearly, and those are done at each First Nations General Assembly usually. And those are going, some have been completed, some are happening, or community meetings, depending on the First Nation. So most of those are in place already. Yeah, and then we're just waiting for salmon to arrive into the Canadian section. But obviously, this, I'm sure like most people, very saddened to see the numbers coming through at the mouth of the river and hoping for some improvements. Yeah, thanks, Serena.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for your report. Do we have anyone from YSSC online?
Hey, Serena, I think they might be at the CYFNGA. If you want, I can give a quick update for some subcommittee as well.
Oh, yes, that would be great. Thank you.
You bet. So I'm also happen to be the vice chair of the SAM subcommittee, and I know Taylor, the executive director, was headed out to the GA at the first CYFN today. Otherwise, for salmon management news, the big things, one of the responsibilities of the SAM subcommittee is to write a recommendation to the minister DFO every year on salmon management plans, and that has been submitted. We can't share what it is yet because it's considered confidential under the final agreements or the land claims process until the minister writes back. So we're waiting for that. But I'm surprised, it should be nothing surprising what people would expect to see. What else? Yeah, and then just doing some more recommendations around some of the mines, but also the hydroelectric facilities that are going through a review process under YESAB, which is, again, another kind of land claims-based process. And so the SAM subcommittee is a bit like the Board of Fish. YESAB is like a social economic review process, and so it's the first time Whitehorse and Mayo Dams have been gone through there, so we're paying particular attention to those two processes and feeding into those reviews and making sure it's better for salmon. I think that's the big one. We've got an in-season meeting coming up in Haines Junction in about a month. And I think that's probably about it for salmon subcommittee.
Great. Thank you, Elizabeth. I apologize for not being here last year. This is Serena Alstrom, Executive Director of the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association. I'm going to read the update we did have last week for those who may not have been on the call last week, but we did have our annual and pre-season meeting back in April in Fairbanks. And these meetings are bringing all of our board members, our board of directors, and our alternates together, so a delegation of 32 members, to talk about your trend or discuss how we're moving forward as an organization. We did celebrate our 35th year anniversary, 35 years of working with everyone along the river, many projects. We did say goodbye to Catherine Moncrief, who's been a longtime anthropologist for our organization. She's been here. She's been with YIRTFA for 23 years. She was there and said bye to a lot of people that were in attendance. We are going to miss her, but she may pop in and do some contract work down the road. But she doesn't know yet, but she's enjoying her time off. We are putting on two biotechnician training camps. One will be in Eagle. Let me get the dates on this. One will be in Eagle, July 18th through the 28th, and the other biotechnician training camp will be in St. Mary's from August 8th through the 18th. And this project was funded through NOAA, and the reason we wanted to have biotechnician training camps is because we want to keep our people employed along the river while there's no fishing going on. The training opportunity is good for anyone 18 or and over willing to travel to Eagle or St. Mary's for those days. So it is a 10-day travel opportunity, and we've got the curriculum pretty solid. If you're interested, go to our website at yukonsalmon.org. There's a QR code that you can just scan on your phone and fill out the application right from your phone. Let's see. Our field technicians did do assessment sites on the Dalton Highway corridor. They'll be traveling to the Beaver area, also to Eagle and down to Marys, and they'll be doing some assessment sites on salmon spawning streams. They do everything from water quality assessment to any culvert assessments that we need to be updated and even looked at and restored. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the community reports. I'm going to be calling by district. There are a couple of questions that we would like to pose to you if you can answer them. This is trying to improve our communication to everyone along the river. We want to know if your tribe has annual membership meetings, if you can provide at least the month or the dates of those dates for your tribe. We're trying to become more active and participate at the community level. We are coordinating we try to get up to at least do one big community meeting during the summer or fall, and we're hoping to go to Scammon Bay in September, at the end of September, the end of moose hunting. We're working with their tribe to do that. We're going to be inviting partners to come along and provide research or any projects that they're doing in that area to come and provide reports. So we look forward to getting out more on the river this year. With that, I'll call on the coastal communities of Chivac, Cooper, and Scammon Bay. Do I have anyone online? Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute.
Hi, Serena. This is Inez. Can you hear me?
Yes, Inez. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is my first time really speaking at this. I've been quiet the last how many meetings? I know that our fishing is closed. They're not doing any. I know some locals are getting the Cisco and the whitefish in the river, and that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Inez. And what community are you from?
I'm from Chibac.
Chibac, that's right. Okay. Well, welcome. I hope to hear from you. Do we have anyone else from the coastal communities of Chibac, Cooper, Scammon Bay? Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute. We'll move on to District Y1, Nunam, Iqwa, Alaghnaq, Imanaq, and Kotlik. Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute. Okay, we will move on to District Y2, Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's Pilot Station in Marshall.
Hi, Serena. This is Nita.
Hi, Nita. Go ahead.
I talked with three fishermen. Actually, I was reported to fishermen. One's going to fish only when there's opening, hopefully, later on in the summer. And I wanted to go down and try for whitefish with J-hook, but I haven't done that yet. And I talked to Stan. He caught some whitefish and chiefish and wherever his camp is at on the river. And nobody's been really fishing around here except for whitefish and chi.
Great. Thank you, Nita. Mm.
Yep.
Do we have
Serena, this is Ben.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Yes, there's been hardly any effort for anybody trying to go out fishing. We are on that closure for 4-inch nets. It'll reopen on July 5th. It was in June 18th at 8 p.m. with the closure. So I haven't heard anybody out fishing. Although I've been seeing people going back to our local Clearwater, maybe rod reeling. Haven't heard anything. Our water's been staying steady. There's just a little bit debris out there in the Yukon River. Weather's been kind of cold and warm. Right now it's kind of warm out there. Mostly getting winds from the southeast and south, easterly winds. And test fishery, Big Eddy and Middlemouth been very slow. Although the pilot station sonar reported about, I had that number written down somewhere. About 70,000. Dina, if you could correct me if I'm wrong, 70,125 chums. And over 20,000, 25,000 kings passed pilot station sonar. Other than that, people have just been calling me asking when we'd be allowed to set the 4-inch lift back in. if we're allowed to dip net, told them, you catch any kings or chums, you got to release them, keep the whitefish and cheapish. That's about all I got. Thank you, Serena.
Great. Thank you, Stan.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. This is Zena John with Fishing Game. So, yeah, those numbers are correct. So the pilot station sonar passage for summer chum is 70,000 and for Chinook is 20,000. And those numbers are both really well below the historic medians and average passages we would want to see by this date. And then up in District 2, so including Mountain Village, fishing with all gill nets is closed, and you can put your 4-inch or smaller mesh nets, they've got to be 60 feet or less set nets, back out at 8 p.m. Saturday, July 5th. But all gill nets got to be out of the water until then. And you can continue to use hook and line and dip nets and beach seine for non-salmon, but have to let all kings and chum go alive.
Thank you, Gina.
Hey, Serena?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Serena, this is Eric here in St. Mary's. So I want to clarify, you say all salmon. Well, in the regulation, it says we can fish for humpies, and there's humpies running right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. If you do get, if you're out with dip nets and you get a pink salmon or a sockeye salmon, you can retain those. You just got to let kings and chum go alive.
Okay. We've been doing that, and we're getting humpies and sockeyes already. So,
oh, good. No, glad to hear that. We've seen a couple sockeye down here at LYTF, but we haven't seen any pinks go through yet.
There's quite a bit. I don't know how you guys are missing them, but there's quite a bit right along the shoreline.
Cool.
And I just want to remind people, too, when we did this moratorium, we were promised that the state and the feds were going to help us out for food security, and I don't see that for happening in our villages, and would like to see a greater effort by the state and the federal government to, you know, provide for food. A lot of people are getting turned away or have applications out for SNAP benefits several months out and still don't have a way to get, you know, assistance. And, you know, sitting there with the commissioner, Vincent Lang, when we sat through this moratorium discussion last year, that was promised that we wouldn't have to worry about food security. Well, I'm here to tell you that's been a complete failure by the state and federal government, and would like to see a greater effort to help all the tribal communities up and down these Alaska villages. People are struggling. People are in despair and giving up. We see people, we've had several suicides here this past year. There's a lot of helplessness. People don't know what they should be doing. And I wish people would take a greater understanding of what's happening to our villages and, the hardship that they're enduring. And by not finding a solution to the problem where our fish disappearing is not a good thing, and is going on year after year. Anyhow, that's all I have, and it's very disturbing to see that what's happening to our villages. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Is there anyone else from District 2, Y2? Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's, Pilot Station, or Marshall? Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute. Moving on to District Y3, Russian Mission, Holy Cross, and Shagluk.
Hello.
Basil?
Tell me when you hear me, I keep pressing star 6.
Okay, Basil, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
I was talking like you to myself for a little bit. But this is Basil at Russian, the first stop in Y3. The water's dropping slowly but surely. There's a lot less trash, we call trash in the river, lot less sticks. All the logs that we're floating on kind of got hung up on the islands now, or and some things showing up when the water drops. There were some snow machines that swamped this spring, and there's some kids that were coming home from rodding reel that probably 5 or 6 miles below us on the south side of the river, right in between the or lower end of these islands down here. They were coming home and they spotted a snow machine sticking halfway out the river. So things are showing up when the water drops. When the water is dropping, they're not too sure whose it is. So, but you see things like that when the water is dropping around here. It's been cold, rainy, no skeeters, no GWUCs too. It would be a good time to be drying some salmon if we were able to. But there was the fire crew took off yesterday, the first fire of the season for them. And then there's been some barges showing up for sending supplies here to fire up the dump project and the building houses project. So just this town's been out of stove oil for about a week or over a week. So the first barge we got, I guess, was fuel, and then now there's some gravel showing up. So Cruise Construction's about to fire up. I've been trying to find somebody to take my spot. There's the survey guy, but everybody I asked has got something lined up for the summer or pretty busy or, you know, this or that. So I haven't been doing the actual surveying, writing things down, but I am part of the fishing group. So basically got my fingers on the pulse of the Yukon River with everybody else. The disturbing thing is, like what Eric said, food security, that's been heavy on everybody's minds. Everybody's feeling it. Everybody could see it. The guys with jobs know that when you live in a village, if you don't work at the store, the school, or the tribe or city, you're basically a part-time worker. So, that's why the food SNAP benefit is so useful out this ways. The store did get some gas, though. We do have some gas in town, just no stove oil. And with the, everybody knows when the king shut down, we had to double the amount of chums we get, and we were wondering about that, the sustainability of the summer chum. Then that got chopped off, and we went hard at the fall chum, and we were wondering about the sustainability of the fall chum, and then that crashed too. You know, we are chasing ghosts here, seems like, with all the rules and regulations getting poured in on us, the poor families up and down Yukon River, not the fishermen out at sea where it should be. We all know that. We all feel that. We just got to get that across. Other than that, yeah, like my brother has some dog or a dog team, and there's my little nephew and a couple other dog teams in town. Everybody in town usually has a steady supply, or when you do need your whitefish, chiefish, pike, they're readily available. There's a eddy in front of town. You just set the 4-inch net and for a day, and you got, you know, human food and dog food. So that being chopped off kind of put a little shock through us. We're all feeling that. So back to my point, it took twice as much summer chum to compensate for the no kings, and then took about the same amount of fall chum to take care of the subsidized no summer chum. But now it would take probably three times as much freshwater fish to subsidize for the missing salmon that's out of our diet and what would be filling our freezers right now. So if we're going to chop off salmon so hard, then just at least encourage or give everybody an opportunity to get their freshwater fish net in the water just to have something to eat. So like Eric said, times are tough. Moose one moose doesn't last all season long, especially for your whole family, everybody out here. I found myself drawing a whole bunch of, a lot more moose meat and all the birds that my boys got and everything that they bring home. I've been trying to let them come home with a beaver to try marinate and dry beaver meat too. So, but they haven't had any luck. My son just got back from KCA and he's already out rotting. Him and his buddies, whitefish, chief fish and pike. It's a very traditional thing to do, but it's just, you gotta, without any fishing at all, all the youngsters are out there. Everybody that could go out there with the rod and reel is out there trying to get some whitefish to put on the table, to pass out, give these old folks some fish, even some, especially the half-dried ones. We do subsist seasonally, and right now we should be tasting the smoky flavor of fish with usually king or salmon, but you know, even whitefish would work. So, we're feeling that heavy. Every family on the river is feeling that heavy, and the burden kind of weighs a little heavier on the dog mushers. So, we just would like to see some, action, or, like Eric said, some food security situation situated out this way. So, that's basically it for Russian.
Thank you, Basil. Do we have anyone else from District Y3, Russian Mission, Holy Cross, or Shaglik? Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute.
We'll move on. David Walker, Holy Cross.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a few fishermen moving around here, but I don't know what they're catching. I think they're moving 4-inch. I haven't heard any fishing reports, so I spent a lot of time on the river cutting wood yesterday, and I see fishermen running up and down, but the water came up a little bit this last 3 days, very slow, and little debris still spitting out. That's about it here. I heard two people are concerned about food security, and would somebody be contacting the proper officials to keep that going, or maybe we could have a follow-up in the next meeting next week on what's going on with the promise. That's about all I have now.
Yes, thank you, David. We'll make a note and have someone lined up for next week to talk about the fishery disasters that were approved and the one that is still pending. We'll provide an update next week on that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good.
We will move on to District Y4A. Do we have anyone from Anvik, Grayling, Caltag, Nalato, or Kaikuk on the line? Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute. Again, calling on District Y4A, Anvik, Grayling, Caltag, Nalato, or Kaikuk. Okay, we'll move up the Keokuk River. Do we have anyone from Hooslea, Hughes, Alkakit, Aletna, or Bettles on the line?
Hello, this is Charlene Brent of Hooslea. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, we have a wildfire about 8 miles west of us. We had a quarter mile visibility this morning, and our water is really high with drift, so there's not too many fishing right now. We did just have a funeral, and now we have a potlatch coming up, so there's not a whole lot of people going out because they're busy. But so far, one person caught 10 whitefish this past week.
Okay, great. Thank you, Charlene. Do we have anyone else from the Keokuk River? Hooslea, Hughes, Alkakit, Aletna, or Bettles? Just a reminder to press *6 to unmute. We'll move into District Y4 ANC. Do we have anyone from Galena or Ruby on the line? Okay, we'll move on to District Y5. Do we have anyone from Tanana, Rampart, Stevens Village, Beaver, Birch Creek, Fort Yukon, Chalkeetsuk, Vinitai, Arctic Village, Circle, or Eagle online?
Serena, this is Stan Zare in Tanana.
Hi, Stan. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So I started the... This weekend I surveyed, or up to this weekend, I surveyed 10 different people for the, the Yukon River in-season subsistence salmon survey. So, and I've been talking to everybody anyway and got a good idea of what's going on in town here and up at, like, the rapids where I usually make my calls from. There's so little going on up at the rapids, with even myself, and other people that, there's nobody up there really. There's, two camps that have had, people there at times and, they've had nets, put in for, whitefish and stuff like that. At different times, there's not a single net in down here in Tanana. There was one earlier, somebody fishing for dogs, and they're not doing that anymore. There, the drift was pretty bad for a while there, but it's lightening up. The water's high. Let's see. I was trying to think of 2005. We did a count of the number of people. We pretty big camp. It's not just a single family. There's multiple families there. There's probably about six shacks, shacks there. And anyway, on I think it was June 30th, we counted 23 people spending the night, not just people that came by and visited or during the day. We actually had 23 spending the night at that camp. And, of course, in the daytime, they're cutting fish and everything like that. And there were a lot of kids, too, and some of them were young enough. They weren't maybe doing too much, but it just goes to show you the difference between I one person spent the night up at that camp so far here. That was me. I went up there and opened up a couple of the buildings and left the next day. And Yeah, there's no reason to be there. I don't have any dogs, and I'm not going to spend all that time up there just to, yeah, run a little whitefish net. So, I mean, it's just life has changed incredibly. Boy, about it. I'll keep doing next week I'll be doing my first weekly survey. The one I just did was the first interview form of the season, but I'll be doing the weekly surveys from now on. And probably maybe something will change a little bit, but it's pretty grim, the way of life, the way things have changed here. I never thought it would have something that this dramatic would have happened. I mean, I've been talking about the fish getting smaller and getting less and the disease in the fish and stuff for 35 years, you know, but I never thought any of this would ever get this bad, come to this. It has come to. Okay, that's about all, and everybody, and thank you.
Thank you, Stan. Appreciate it. Do we have anyone else from District Y5? 10 Rampart, Stevens, Beaver, Birch Creek, Fort Yukon, Chalkeetsik, Vinitai, Arctic Village, Circle, and Eagle. And just a reminder to press star 6. Okay, moving on to District Y6. Do we have anyone from Manly, Minto, Nanano, or Fairbanks on the line? Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute.
This is Virgil in Fairbanks.
Hi, Virgil. Go ahead.
Well, there's not really much going on. Of course, right around here, we can't even use bait for burbot. They've got emergency closure on that, but pretty grim, like what Stan was saying. Him and I have been complaining about the size of fish, and for more than 30 years. But what we're doing here is we're processing people's bear meat. People are spending more time hunting bears, I think, and then of course people go to Shitna, and so that's about the only other thing you can do is go to Shitna and dip net. Or you can go down to Cook Inlet and dip net down there, too, in the Kenai River, but that's a gigantic problem trying to do that. Anyway, it's just super disappointing to see what has happened. And I've been digging through some of my records, and this is the year that we have to do something about false pass. And there's proposals to restrict the hatcheries again, too, to the Board of Fisheries. So we've got to really be united, the entire river system and the whole AYK region needs to be. And if you've got family or relatives that live in Anchorage, you've got to influence those politicians down there. They can't fish there either for king salmon, and they have no chum salmon, and they get restricted for silver salmon as well, the cohos. But this has to be solved politically. And so, because the biggest thing that's causing us not to have salmon is they're starving in the ocean. And Alaska dumped last year 1.9 billion pinks and chums into the ocean, which is crazy. So our fish are starving in the ocean. Anyway, I don't really have a lot else to say except it's been super hot here and windy at times. And we've got lots of forest fire smoke. So it's not even fun being outdoors right now. But that's about all I've got to say. Thanks. Oh, I got one other thing. Josue, okay. Stan's son, came in. This is on a good, happy note. He ran the Yukon 800 again. He had a crew member from Minto and one from Tanana with him, young guys. And the river, the drift was really bad, and he had to dodge a log and then had to dodge another log. And when he did, he flipped his boat over. And then they had to spend about an hour drying out. And they, but he got his boat going again, and they ended up in third place in the Yukon 800. So that's a happy thing. But that's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Virgil. And just on that note as well, the AYK Board of Fisheries cycle is approaching. Proposals are in. The book should be coming out. But there is a group, the BBAYK group, that does get together every Thursday at 9 o'clock. If you would like to be a part of that group, it's to prepare for upcoming meetings. It's we screen on who's attending those meetings. So if you're interested, I will forward you I'll forward your appropriate group that approves everyone to join that meeting. It's, again, it's every Thursday at 9 o'clock. A lot of presentations and a lot of, we're getting ready to prepare for Board of Fish. We will now move into Canada. Do we have anyone from Old Crow, Dawson, Whitehorse, Mayo, Pelly Crossing, Carmax, or Teslin on the line? Just a reminder to press star 6 to mute. Okay, I'll open the floor up for you. Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute. The floor is open for any questions or discussion at this time.
Could you say that again, Serena? You cut out before you finished there.
I apologize. My internet connection is low. I am opening the floor for any questions or discussion. Can you please press star 6 to unmute?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Basil. I'd just like to throw it out there that people would like some opportunity to get some freshwater fish with their 4-inch net. We understand the rules and regulations. We respect them full well. We follow them. But nothing's getting better, and or no numbers are bouncing back like they're supposed to. So we just, folks would just like opportunity to go out and get some freshwater fish with the net, which is, you could get a lot more freshwater fish in an hour with the net than you could with the rod and reel. So we're not out to make or break the run. We just would like an opportunity to eat some fresh food here. And there was some, the first canoers passed like last 2 days or 3 days. There's been some canoers floating down the river a little earlier than usual, but they're floating down. Started up in Whitehorse.
Hi, Basil. This is Dina Jown with Fishing Game. So, yeah, the 4-inch gill nets in District 3 can be put back out at 8 p.m. Tuesday, July 8th. So that closure just kind of went in effect a few days ago. So after 8 p.m., you can still go out and fish with beach seines and also dip nets and hook and line and other non-salmon gear, but you just got to let all kings and chum go alive. But, yeah, if you get any non-salmon or pink or sockeye salmon, you can retain those in dip nets and beach seines and other gear.
The floor is open for any questions or discussion. Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute.
Nick Tipka here in Marshall. I was wondering, when did the test fish numbers started and what's the numbers up to date?
Dina? Hi, this is Dina. Oh, this is Dina with Fishing Game. I'm afraid I missed the first part of that question. I didn't quite catch it.
He is asking when the test fisheries began counting and what are the current numbers?
Yeah, so the Lower Yukon test fishery, they started in early June. Actually, they started doing snag nets in late May. And so far, they haven't gotten a ton of samples. They haven't gotten a lot of fish. The cumulative CPUE LITF is 225, and that's well below the historic cumulative CPUE of 1,099. So we haven't been getting a whole lot of summer chum down here at LITF, and that's kind of been reflected in the numbers that we've gone and then see a few days later up at Pilot. So far up at Pilot for the season, they started counting on June 4th, and they've only estimated a passage of 70,000 summer chum, and that's well below their historic median of 452,000 for this date, so quite low, unfortunately.
Is there any signs of, like, fish out in the ocean trying to come in?
I would really defer to folks out there if they've seen observations. We have heard of more beluga activity. We've gotten reports back from the test fish crew that they've seen beluga in Big Eddy and in Middlemouth, and I think last year we heard that there were belugas further up in river. The winds down here on the coast have been blowing pretty much offshore or have been pretty light winds, just kind of blowing offshore, and it didn't really look like they were going to switch around until Friday, so or at least later in the week. So hopefully, if winds switch around, it'll blow in whatever fish are out there off the coast and towards the mouth of the river. But I think so far, we just haven't really seen a whole lot down here. I don't know if folks on the coast have seen much more activity than we have.
Again, the floor is open for any questions or discussion. Just a reminder to press star 6 to unmute.
Serena, this is Doug Red Fox in Yamaha.
Yes, Doug, go ahead.
Thank you. This message is for the fishing game. Do you guys still do that email about the test fisheries, how they're doing? Thank you.
Hi, Doug. Yeah, they do send out daily packets. If you call our office, if you call the Monarch office at 949-1320, we could make sure that we've got your email address so you get on that list.
Okay, thank you.
Again, the floor is open for questions or discussion. Hearing none, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your time. We appreciate everyone who participated during the call. We look forward to next week. Again, we'll be providing updates on the fishery disasters and the pending fishery disaster. And I've also heard concerns on food security, and we will make sure that someone is online to help guide that conversation. With that, I hope you guys have a wonderful day and a good week. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Arena. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ayana, bye.
Ayana.